As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome again to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, your host, talking about things going on in my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky, for the 75th time. Can you believe it? The 75th episode of this little podcast. It started on as an idea with my producer, Dan Vonderhyde, suggested that I start up a show. Since then, we've had almost 150 guests who are considered by me to be the most interesting people in the Ville. And once again, I don't fail you this week. There is... got a couple of people on the show this week that are really really doing great things in this community, and are really important. I think you'll be glad if you listen that you know who they are. Stay tuned for the second half of the show. We're going to hear from Tom Kaffhammer, who is a part of the family that runs Buckhead's Mountain Grill and Rockies over on the other side of the river in Indiana. I went over there on Wednesday afternoon and talked to Tom about a lot of things that are exciting things that are going on. It's kind of nice to know about a thing that's been here in this community for a long time, but to know the background and the history and how they came to be. It's also it was funny talking to Tom about. You know, a lot of us that have lived here a long time, we refer to places that we know by what used to be on that spot. And we'll talk in that interview about something related to Buckheads in that way. So first up, I want to get to Jerry Ward, who is the chairman of the board of Cozair Charities, which is one of the most important organizations in this city. It takes care of contributes to, I think the number is 90 charities in town depend on Cozair Charities, 90 organizations that help children depend on Cozair Charities. They, you couldn't miss knowing who Cozair Charities is, but it was sort of interesting to talk to the chairman, talk about some of the things that are going on right now with Cozair. For instance, and this isn't even in the interview, you may or may not know that Cozair sold its property down on 3rd Street near downtown in Old Louisville. It's a three-story building. It's been there a long time. I was I've been there several times for events of some sort. They got a big ballroom there, and they sold it to Spalding University and are in the process of building a new facility. It's not a ground-up facility. They're taking an old car dealership on Barstown Road near Butchel, right there across from Bob Hook Chevrolet. And that is going to be the new Cozair Charities headquarters, or at least a building that will be used for things like there's going to be a ballroom in there. Jerry was telling me about this. Jerry again, we don't get to everything in the interview. Sometimes I wish I had like 30 minutes to talk to these folks, but Jerry brokered the deal and made sure that Cozair could afford this property, and they're fixing it up to have all the functionality of their previous place downtown. And I think it's going to be a good thing for them. I know you know that property. It's interesting. When I got there, it was just hours after we in the community learned of the passing of Sam Swope, the icon in this community. Sam was a big supporter of Cozair Charities and many other charities in the city. He, I think Jerry was really affected, because we had just learned the news about Sam. He lived a great life and made a lot of difference in this community and did a lot of great things for a lot of people. So, it was with a little bit of heavy heart we did this interview, but gave Jerry, I think, an opportunity to talk about his relationship with Sam and Sam's involvement in Cozair Charities over the years. And so, anyway, let's get right to that interview. Here's my talk with Jerry Ward. And today I'm in the office of Jerry Ward, who has a very interesting and important volunteer effort job, I think, as the chairman of the board of Cozair Charities. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, I got a lot I want to get to and talk with you about, Jerry. But first, as we're speaking, we just found out some very sad news about a person who passed away. He's very important in this community, in Sam Swope.
Unfortunately, that's true, Rick. Sam just passed away this morning, and he'd been ill for the last several weeks. And the community lost one of the true leaders. And I'd read something years back about a man's life measured by the number of people that they touch. Mm-hmm. And Sam has touched so many different people's lives in this community, and especially the children. And because of Sam, a lot of children have a second chance at life.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of those, I know, he seemed to be involved in every charity in town, but I guess Cozair was close to his heart. What was your interaction with him?
Well, Sam's like a mentor to most of us on the board. He's past president of the Cozair Board Charities Board. And a Shriner and a Mason and a true leader in the community, and he was somebody that we all looked up to. And anytime we had a question, we could always go to Sam for wise guidance. And I think the board and the leadership, we're very fortunate to have somebody like Sam there to be part of it. And Sam showed us how to help people. Mm-hmm. That was just his nature, to be able to help people in the community. He was very active, not only with Cozair Charities, but with the Masonic Home and the Boy Scouts, and just recently the Humane Society. And he gave not only substantial amount of his wealth, but he also gave a lot of his time and commitment to those different organizations.
Sure, and that time commitment outside of the way you make your money is I think one of the certainly one of the measures of being successful. You have been chairman of Cozair Charities for 5 years, you were telling me it's like another job. I mean, it takes a lot of time. Tell me a little bit about how big it is.
Well, Cozair Charities has been around since 1923, when they operated the Cozair Crippled Children Hospital in Eastern Parkway. Well, we no longer operate the hospital, but we have two campuses now, and on those campuses are different pediatric organizations provide services for the children. Everybody on those campuses are on there rent-free, and they're part of the organizations that we support, which over 90 organizations each year are supported by Cozair Charities. Okay. And when we say support, we don't run the organizations, but we participate and partner with the different groups in order to be able to lift them up where they can provide a higher quality of medical care and to give the children in their organizations another chance at a better life.
Sure, sure. And you know, I understand that it's a commitment to do this act of being chairman, and there's a large board, and there's a lot of work that goes involved that is involved. But you're also a successful businessman in this community. What was it that attracted you to this charity to make the decision to spend this much of your free time on a charitable act?
That's a good question. About 25 years ago, a couple of friends of mine were clowns at Colzair, and both of these were successful business people. And I said, "Why are you getting dressed up like a clown and doing this?" And they said, "Well, why don't you go with us to the hospital this Saturday and see?" And so I pushed the cart around as they entertained the children in the hospital, and I watched the parents and I watched the kids, and it brought joy to the parents and the children that were in there being suffering. And just watching the interaction with the children, and it makes you want to be a part of it. And so since I became a Mason, and I became a Shriner, I've been on the Colzair Charities Board about 12 years now, and I've been I was a treasurer for 3 years, and then I was fortunate enough to be serving as the chairman of the board the last 5 years.
Okay. And you told me that even in your family there was something special where the charity helped you.
Well, my great grandson was born, and he spent the first 9.5 months of his life in NICU, neonatal intensive care. The child underwent 16 surgeries, and we did not think he was going to make it. Fortunately, because of the care and the medical people that are medical practitioners at the hospital, Matthew is alive today, doing extremely well. He's 9 years old. He does taekwondo, he plays the drums, and he attends Christian Academy in the third grade. So we're very, very blessed, and I think that we have an obligation as individuals to give back to the community. And as we said earlier, I think one of those people that were our leaders was Sam Swope. Sam continued to give back up until he just recently passed today.
Okay. Well, I understand that. I know there's a lot of stories in this town. Y'all have this old ad campaign about Colzair Kids, and you know, it's all a great thing. Just to be kind of silly, though, I you never did the clown business, right?
I did the clown business.
Oh, you did?
I did. In fact, I was secretary to clown unit for several years and booked the hospital visits.
Oh, wow. So, okay, so there's those clowns, and then there's those hats, right? The fez, right? And those aren't what you would call fashionable, right?
No, they're not. And they're very heavy and hot, so...
Now, and a lot of, I just want to go after some things that, you know, maybe people know about Colzair, and like, you know, I see them in parades with the little cars and all that, and I guess it's all entertaining people, right? And then as a way to move on to raise money. Would you say? I guess I just remember seeing, like, the clowns and the vehicles in like, the Pegasus Parade.
Well, it's Shriners having fun, and they're raising money to help children, not only Colzair charities, but also the Shriners hospitals. There are 22 Shriners hospitals throughout North America, and that's supported, and where the children have an opportunity to go. They're never charged. Their parents don't have to worry about paying the bill. And as Sam Swope says, no child's ever turned away. So
there you go. Now, let's talk about the charities and what it does just for a few minutes. I know that I don't know what the number you must raise an incredible amount of money. I guess the board sort of sifts through the request for money and figures out all the different ways to raise money. I mean, give me an idea what kind of decisions you make as a board.
Well, that's a good question. Each year we receive grant requests from members in the community for pediatric health care, and the board reviewed the request to make sure they're in line with our mission, and that we have the wherewithal to be able to accomplish what they're asking for, too. The grant people. In the last 5 years, we've provided right at $100 million in grant requests for the community to over 90 different organizations on an annual basis. If you look at organizations like VIPS, they have a new facility now, and they're serving blind children throughout the state. And if you look at the Down syndrome, they have a new facility on South Hurstburn Lane. Family and Children Place has a new facility. Probably one of our best places and one of our favorite places is the Home of the Innocents. When the Home of the Innocents was looking to acquire the new property on the stockyards, they were not able to come up with the funding. We told them to go ahead and set the closing up, and Brown Allen, who was chairman of the board at that time, attended the closing and delivered a check for $6.4 million and purchased the property and handed it to them. Since then, we've probably provided another $5 million in facilities for the Home of the Innocents. And as we told Gordon Brown, executive director there, those are our children.
Right.
And a lot of those children come out of the hospital and they live there the rest of their life until, you know, they become adults because they have no place else to go. So we're going to make sure those children are taken care of.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, it's a tremendous story. It's a tremendous amount of money. I know there's a lot of fundraising goes on in the city related to COSAIR, and, you know, it's really great work that you're doing. I wanted to, just got a couple minutes left, just give our listeners an idea about you and your background. You grew up, you know, in a place that I don't think most people of a certain age ever consider, you know, leading businessmen in the city to be from. And tell me about where you grew up.
I grew up in the West End of Louisville, basically at 43rd and Broadway, and attended school there and the Catholic School of Christ the King, and then also attended Flagey High School across from Shawnee Park. Most of the families that we grew up with had a large number of children, so there were a lot of tremendous interaction among the community there. One of the jokes was that if you did something, your parents knew about it before you got home. And a lot of the families sat on the front porch at that time, and there was just a communication there and a social structure that you don't see any place else in this community.
Sure. Yeah. Certainly, times have changed, I guess, and
they have.
Naturally, but certainly that is a different era, I suppose. But very interesting. And Jerry, that's about all the time we have. I really appreciate what you do for the community with COSAIR Charities, and you know, certainly I'm going to pay attention and you know, certainly good for all of us to be aware of COSAIR and all the good work that you do.
Well, thank you, Rick.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
This is Rusty Satellite Show 75 News. And thank you very much to Jerry Ward for spending a few minutes with me in his office. He's got an office in the Industrial Park in J-Town, and I went over there and talked with him and really learned a lot more than you heard in the interview about things going on with COSAIR. And so it's certainly a worthy charity. Interesting that so many organizations depend on funding from COSAIR, and it's all from, I guess the money all comes from donations. So it's a really great thing. So those of you who listen to the show know that in the middle of the show, I sort of get to go off on a tangent or two, or at least talk about the stories in the news that affect me. As a former blogger, I sort of miss writing about some of this stuff, but at least I get an outlet to share my opinions Lines with you here on the Rusty Satellite Podcast. A couple of big stories that are in the news this week, and this is really good news for people who don't want their tax dollars to support a particular religious viewpoint, and for fans who of science, I guess I would say. Early this week, you know, there's this plan for this art park up in Northern Kentucky, and this organization that runs the Creation Museum. There were two stories about this week. The first story was that this Answers in Genesis organization is going to run a bunch of billboards that basically say that they've got, you know, they're trying to portray themselves as somebody, as an organization that's getting attacked by all these secular activists and people in the media like me who don't believe that the taxpayers should help this project in any way. If they want to build a religious theme park, go to it, but don't get any help from the taxpayers. So they put up this they started this campaign of billboards, and I don't know, based on the news that came later in the week, if this was going to continue or not. Looked like they put a lot of money into billboards. One of them says, "Thank God you can't sink this ship," and it actually, the story reported they were going to actually put a bunch up in Louisville and around the state, and actually in Times Square in New York, of all places. That would have, you know, be sort of an embarrassment in my view to the state. And you know, this was a happening story like early in the week, but on Wednesday, the news came out that the Tourism, Arts, and Heritage Cabinet, which approves the tax incentives for projects like this in the state, has decided they will not offer what were $18 million in tax incentives because of the organization's refusal to pledge not to discriminate in hiring based on religion. So there was a big statement that came out. This broke just late on Wednesday, and said basically it's not going to go forward. The mechanism that would allow tax breaks for the art park will not go forward. Which may or may not kill the project. You really don't know that yet, but based on the story, I'd say it would really cripple it. They've already had a lot of trouble raising money, and I just don't think it's going to happen. Governor Beshear, I heard him on Terry Miner's show talking about this on the radio on Tuesday, and Beshear was basically has kind of been supporting the project from the beginning, but made it clear that discrimination in hiring based on religion would not fly in any project that he was associated with. So anyway, your update for that is, at this point, the idea of the park is not dead, but the idea that they're going to get any tax incentives from the state is dead. So, you know, I think that's a good thing. The other big story that's been going on this week, and I'm just surprised at the lengths that the officials have to go to fire a high school principal. But this David Mike of Mail was fired by JCPS after a long investigation in which they found that he had committed a bunch of acts unbecoming of a teacher or a principal in the system. And Mike, of course, had the opportunity to appeal. There's a three-person tribunal. Three people from outside the state they're conducting this thing like a trial. I was sort of watching it on Twitter today, and it's called a tribunal. And the JCPS has brought 12 witnesses up to this point to the stand to testify about you know, things they found that Mike may or may not have been doing wrong. Sort of, you know, the basis of the accusations are that he helped kids cheat on standardized ACT tests, and that's what brought the you know, the ACT organization got involved in making claims against Mike, and JCPS investigated and discovered there was enough evidence to dismiss him. And it amazes me how difficult it is to you know, for an organization like JCPS to fire somebody. But anyway, the thing, there's no answer yet. Is the, you know, if you're waiting for me to lead up to what happened, they brought 12 witnesses up today. They're gonna reconvene on Friday, and then Mike is gonna bring maybe more witnesses. He only has had one witness so far testifying. You know, I think there are a lot of people involved, and this is a really bad story for JCPS. I think it can turn into a good story if they could discover that, hey, here's a bad apple, we got rid of him, and we moved on. So you know, I think JCPS, you know, certainly it's a really large system. So things go wrong within the system. But I think overall, I'm a satisfied customer at JCPS. I have three kids. Three boys, two of them graduated, went through the whole thing, graduated from Manual. My son Luke is a junior at Eastern High School, and he's doing well. So anyway, I'm very anxious to see how that turns out. I think you should be paying attention to it if you're concerned about education in the city. So and had one other major story this week, and it was brought to you by the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting, went through Louisville Public Media, and the headline is University of Louisville set to get millions from Charles Koch Foundation and Papa John's CEO. So you know, in the controversy, it's sort of a well done story. I mean, I got my issues with CIR. They come out with a story about every month and a half, it seems like, but this one is really eye opening because there's a possibility that U of L is going to get $6 million from these organizations, and when they've done it in other universities, there has been some strings attached, we'll say, and I guess U of L, you know, the university is being very careful about accepting this money. They certainly need the money. There's no doubt about that, with the fact that restrictions are being placed or cuts are always being made to university budgets by the state, and you know they're more dependent on donations to keep their programs going. Well, you know, some places like at Florida State, there's some, you know, it seems that the political influence of these donors is showing up in places that it shouldn't. So I encourage you to go to kycir.org and take a look at that story. It's really might make you think about the, you know, politics is a really big factor in our society, and certainly we don't want it to be a part of our biggest educational institution in this town. But sure would be nice to have that money. So that's a you know, sort of a dichotomy they have over there. We'll see how it comes out. I should talk for just a moment about sports since I last talked to you. The bowl pairings have been announced in football. I hope you're going. I can't make it, but the University of Louisville football team is going to Charlotte for the Belk Bowl. I believe it's like December 29th. During the break between Christmas and New Year in Charlotte, North Carolina. Sounds like a great, great trip. Get to play the Georgia Bulldogs from the Southeastern Conference. U of L has opened as an underdog against the Bulldogs. The first line I saw was 7 points. So, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for U of L, you know, to knock off an SEC power. So we'll see if that happens. I'll be watching that one on TV, along with, on Christmas Eve, can you believe it, Western Kentucky University, my alma mater, is in the Bahamas Bowl. And they're going to face Central Michigan, which, interestingly enough, is the alma mater of my girlfriend Paula. And we're going to have to come up with a wager for that one. But unfortunately, I can't get down to the Bahamas on Christmas Eve to see the game. So there will be a watch party. Might go over to somewhere like maybe Louis or you know, a big place with big TVs to cheer on the Hilltoppers. I'm sure we're going to find that out in the next week or so, where we're going to watch the game. But it's unfortunately, you know, most people have family commitments on Christmas Eve, but the game is early in the day, so we can start watching the game and then go do our family things. So that's a good deal. So I want to mention one other thing before we get on to my second interview. Is I was trying to keep you updated when something big happens to Rusty Satellite alumni, and if you remember, the former WHS TV anchor Claudia Coffey was a guest on this show. She's a friend of mine, and I just heard she has taken on a new job as she's going to coordinate. I think she's the chief executive officer of the Louisville Apartment Association. So it seems like a good leadership opportunity for Claudia, and very happy for her. Hope that works out well. It seems like Rusty Satellite Show guests are often in the news and doing a lot of big and cool things in this town. So good for Claudia. I tell you, I've got some really interesting guests lined up for the near future, the holiday season and all that. I encourage you to make it a habit to listen to the Rusty Satellite Show and hear some of the things that we've got coming up. So not going to give it away yet, but certainly you'll want to do that. You'll want to download the Rusty Satellite Show each and every week. My second guest is Tom Kaffhammer, and Tom is 32, and I learned, you know, again, some of the best conversations come after the recorder gets turned off. But Tom is went to Indiana University, but he was working in a restaurant from a very, very young age. His family has always been involved in the restaurant business, and he majored in sports communication at IU and worked for a while for WDRB and with the Louisville Bats, and had a choice to make, go into the family business or get paid very little and work long hours in the sports business. He made the same decision I did, which was to get out of sports. But Tom, you know about Buckheads and you know about Rockies, and unless you know a little bit of background, that you don't know that they have the same ownership. It's a great organization. They've started a catering operation, and there's a lot of good things going on with Buckheads. There's the one across the river next to Rockies, or there's the one on Gardner Lane that I go to quite a bit, and they've just really got a lot going on. And I will tell you right now, before we start the interview, that if you want to send me an email at rick@louisvilleky.com and tell me that you want that you want this, the first one I get from somebody who listened to the show will get this. It's a $25 gift certificate to that you can use either at Buckheads or at Rockies. And there's also a little a new concept that they're working on next door to the Buckheads on Gardner Lane. You can use it in all three places. It's a gift card, and it's very good. They're up on technology over there, and things are going well. Tom is he's 32. He's getting ready to get married, so he had to choose between something related to his wedding or doing this interview. And well, he managed to do both, I think. So anyway, here's my interview with Tom Kaffhammer. All right, today I have ventured over to the other side of the river in southern Indiana. I can see Louisville here from Buckheads Mountain Grill, and it's just a really great location. I'm here with Tom Kaffhammer, who is the what, Tom?
General manager of this location in Jeffersonville.
Okay. Now, you were kind of born into this business, and I just heard some of the colorful history of Buckheads and Rockies. A lot of people know it now, but tell me a little bit about the way it started.
Well, it started out basically when Kent Taylor and the Texas Roadhouse guys started Texas Roadhouse in Clarksville, Indiana, and connected to the Green Tree Mall. They also started a bar version of it on Hirschborn Lane in Louisville. Literally blacked out windows, peanuts on the floor, live music, open till 3 a.m. kind of place.
And that was because I didn't even remember this. So that was at what location on Hirschborn?
It was right near the corner of Shelbyville Road and Hirschborn Lane, right next to the old Morrison's Cafe. And I think, I believe there's a Mom's Music there now. They've renovated those places quite a bit in the past, 20 plus years.
Yeah. All us old folks always remember landmarks by what used to be there, right?
Yeah, I remember the Morrison's Cafe from my grandmother who lived out there, would take us there all the time, as a kid.
Okay, so you were growing up. This was must have been back in the 80s or 90s.
This would have been 20 years ago. 22 years ago. So
you grew up in the business. Went away to school to IU. Sorry about last night.
I'm a Louisville fan and an IU grad, so it was all right for me.
Okay, but you say you've done almost everything you can imagine over here at this location and other locations, right?
I literally started out working at one of the Louisville locations before this one was even started, and it was my sophomore year of high school. I went to Providence High School in Clarksville. Spring break when we opened this, when we opened up this store, and I remember I was mad because I couldn't go on spring break because we had to open up the store. So I was a busser on those first couple nights, and you wouldn't believe the kind of business that we were doing. Almost, kind of like a good way to explain it. I almost consider it was like hopscotch.
Right.
It was like when the next guy came on to relieve you for your shift, it was like you just jumped in and he just jumped right back in your space, because that was how quick the motion was going and how busy the store was.
Yeah.
And we were on a wait for 12 straight hours.
Just a little more history. I remember when I was in high school, which was in the 70s. I worked at YMCA downtown, and the best place to come over here was Rocky Sub Pub, and that was right down the street, right?
Uh-huh. So years after, a couple 2 years after the Buckhead opened, John Fondrizi, who started Rocky's Sub Pub, literally on the same day that his first day of business was on the day that Elvis died. It's an easy way to remember it. He started down there, and then when we came over here and we were local, John was local, so we kind of formed a partnership and moved it down the street. And John was kind of the forerunner in craft beer those days. So he had a lot of import bottles and things like that, and great local pizza. We just kind of taken that and kind of continued to build on it.
Right. And I know it's very popular here in the locations in Louisville. Not a lot of people know that you started another concept over in Louisville. Because I've been to the Gardner Lane Shopping Center where the Rockies... Another Rockies.
Yeah, Rockies Pizza Panini, which is kind of like an Express Rockies that does, mainly pizzas and paninis and salads and soups. It's a counter service kind of place, but you can also go in there and get a growler of beer, have a pint with your salad, and it's a totally different kind of concept for us, but it's doing really well, and we're excited that maybe that's something to build on in the future.
So there might be other locations of that coming? Okay. Well, we're here at Buckhead's on the River. It's very festive in here, and you've been kind enough to provide me with a
That's a Breckenridge Vanilla Porter.
A Breckenridge Vanilla Porter. So that's what I'm tasting in here. Tell me about your ale promotion.
At all the stores, we're doing a promotion starting this Friday, December 12th at 5 p.m., called the 12 Ales of Christmas. Basically, every single day, leading up to Christmas, 12 days in a row, we do a glassware giveaway with a different holiday-themed beer.
Okay.
And I don't necessarily like to keep them all strictly Christmas beers because, like I said, everybody gets a little tired of ginger with every single thing that they're drinking.
That on Halloween, too. I thought that they were overdoing all the pumpkin stuff on Halloween.
It used to be nice when only a few breweries did it, but now everybody does it. So we like to try to pepper them in, but the problem is you don't want to have too many of them on draft after Christmas because they're a thing of the past, and you're looking forward to the next seasonal beer. But we have 12 great beers on lineup, from Chimay Triple to Oscar Blues Old Chub to Brooklyn Winter, Sierra Nevada Celebration, just to name a few. And we'll do an individual glassware giveaway with supplies every single night starting at 5 o'clock. And it's always been a really successful, fun event that we do here.
And that starts,
this Friday at 5 p.m.
All right. Well, that sounds fun. Well, there's a lot of other events. I was really surprised to hear all the you've got charity events and other events going on here. Just go through a few of those.
Last week we did our very first annual, and it's something I'm definitely going to continue to do, Candy Cane Christmas Party, where we brought local candy cane makers out that literally went through the steps of making candy canes back in our party room. And so kids came out, we had Santa Claus there, they were able to make their own candy canes, form their own candy canes, however they want to do it, and take them home with it. And it's a really cool event. I had my nieces here doing it with them. They're 5 years old, and they had a blast doing it. And so we decided that's something we want to keep doing all the time, because it's something a little bit unique for not every restaurant in the city doing stuff like that. And we tied it together with a Dare to Care. So we're doing a Dare to Care Christmas tree in the lobby of the restaurant that's going on until basically Christmas Eve. So we ask you if you got any canned goods or anything like that, bring them in, put them in the lobby. We feed people year round. We figure it's our duty to help feed the needy during the holidays as well.
Sure. That sounds great. Now I was thinking about this thing. You have a special brunch even this Sunday with Santa himself.
Yeah, we do brunch every single Sunday from 10 to 2 o'clock. And this Sunday, we'll have Santa Claus here. And brunch is $14.99, $7.99 for kids. And we do, we'll have opportunity for you to get a picture taken with Santa, or you can bring your own camera and do that. But we'll have all that stuff here. And it ought to be a pretty fun deal.
Yeah.
I mean, especially after last week when we had Santa here with the candy cane party, everybody around us, employees, staff, management, guests, all really, really enjoy having Santa here. Puts everybody a different kind of mentality immediately.
Yeah, well, everybody's, kind of happy this time of year. It's hopefully work is, most people who aren't in the restaurant business, slow down a little bit, I guess. But you guys, it must be about as busy as you get,
especially
right?
At this location with our large space for large parties, holiday parties, and we'll do anything from buffets for 75 people during lunch to, you know, at nighttime feeding 100 plus people back in our party rooms. And that's something that we are, you know, always completely booked up on, and that business keeps building up. And that's one thing we offer that a lot of places can, is a very, very large event space with a view of downtown Louisville.
Right, and I was just going to get to the view of downtown. I'm looking out the windows here, and I mentioned that crazy things happen here on Thunder Weekend.
Right? It's a little bit busy of the week, but I'll tell you what, we've been doing it for a long time, and it actually ends up, you know, people always ask, is Thunder one of the most stressful times of the year? I'm like, no, it's actually, we've been doing it for so long that Thunder is almost like a nice retreat from everything else, because we've got to feed everybody one time instead of having to feed everybody throughout the time from 11 in the morning till the very end of the night.
Do you find you get the same people coming back year after year?
Oh, almost, probably 80% of them. Every year. From large companies to our craft beer tent that we do a mini craft beer event in down by the river, and a big group from U of L come out, and different companies that have been, Gordon Food Service is one of them that bring several hundred guests every single year.
I didn't realize that I've learned this from reading up about Buckheads, and you really become sort of a craft beer. You really got into the craft beer craze, I guess. I don't think it's a fad anymore, right? It's a staple. And what got Buckheads of all places into
years ago? Probably 10 years ago. We dabbled in some craft beers on tap and had a nice bottle selection, but we never really fully dove into it. And I was bar manager at that time, and ironically, Tisha Dean, who has worked with us in the past and is still a close friend of mine and a colleague of mine, was my beer rep at the time for a company over here in Indiana. And she was always here pushing beers on us. So one day I got mad at my Budweiser guys. Took everything off tap, took all the neons off the walls, said, Tisha, if somebody comes in and wants Newcastle, what do they ask for? Well, BBC Nut Brown. And literally lined every beer like that. And from then on, and we went from having, four craft beers on draft. At the time, we had 20 or 32 beers on draft. And we went from having four on draft to 18 overnight. And we just said, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And it worked. It worked really well. It was kind of a weird move. And then it was something that we noticed, set ourselves apart from everybody else. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we just kept on steamrolling with that. With Rockies has 32 beers on draft. We have 42 on draft here at Buckheads. And our other locations are strongly dedicated to the craft beer movement.
I know. Of course, I've seen your app for that and all that. It's very impressive. And, I guess just wrapping up here, I don't think a lot of people realize that Buckheads and Rockies A are the same ownership, but it's a family business. And local family business that you must take a lot of pride in it.
I take a special amount of pride in it because a lot of my family is involved in this business. My father, Mike Capron, being one of the owners, and his partner Wes Johnson, who's almost like a stepdad to me. I mean, I talk to him sometimes just as much as I talk to my father. And I grew up in this building from not only working here, but my high school friends working here, and my sister working here, my brother, everybody, and people that I've worked
with. You get all your buddies from high school a job. Right.
Yeah, it was not a bad gig, but we take a big pride in being local and being family driven, and we think it shows in the way that our employees think that we treat people, not only guests, but our own employees. We treat everybody to extent like an extended family.
Well, very good. Well, very good. Yeah, I know that I've seen your menu is. Got some items. It just keeps me coming back. Some of the appetizers and it's great lunch. I go to the Barstown Road store mostly, but it's really become a staple in Louisville, I think.
I believe so, and that's something we look to continue to grow on throughout the years. And then with certain different things we're doing, like the addition of brunch throughout the past couple of years, and some of the alcohol or beer promotions we've done, and small craft beer festivals, we want to keep on that ball, keep rolling.
All right, well, we got to wrap it up here, but tell our listeners how they can find out about all these special events here at Buckheads.
So they're all on our Facebook page, which is under just Buckheads on the River or Buckhead Mountain Grill. You can also go to our webpage, which is eatatbuckhead.com, singular. Or just call in, stop in, have a pint, ask us questions. We're always here to answer them.
There you go. It's not that hard to get to over here on the river or at Gardner Lane. So, Tom, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
All right, and that'll do it. I think there's a good chance I might go out to that brunch over there at the at Buckhead's on Sunday. Sounds like a great time. You just got to get in the holiday spirit, and there's great beer and stuff over there. So I encourage you to join me over there at on Sunday for brunch. And it is just a couple of weeks till Christmas. I don't know if you've done any of your Christmas shopping yet. I don't have that many people to buy for, but. I'm proud to say here on December the 11th or so, I've not bought the first present, but I like doing it. I'm looking for things to buy online, and I just don't know what to get my sons and my girlfriend and all that. So anyway, I'll update you on that. We'll have another great show next week. Show number 76. I'm still amazed we've made it to 75 shows of the Rusty Satellite Show. And it's all thanks to producer Dan Vonderhyde and my sponsor, Passport Health Plan. I really appreciate their support. And I want to give a little plug to some folks that are helping me out and getting guests. My friend Aaron Jones, who I used to work with back in the good old days at Louisville Mojo, is runs a great PR agency now, and she helped me get me in touch with Jerry Ward. And I want to tell you, Caroline Knopp runs her agency is called Simply PR. She does a lot of is involved in a lot of great events in this town. She's helped me get a number of my guests on the show. So a little bit of a shout out to those folks for helping me out. If you have a suggestion for the show, get in touch with me. Remember that I have a giveaway this week, a $25 gift certificate to Buckheads or Rockies to the first person who emails me at rick@louisvilleky.com and says you heard about it on the Rusty Satellite Show. So until next week, this is Rick Redding with the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. Now